Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope tonight I can do as I spoke about today in my testimony, that I could be like a football coach or someone who helps you with the game plan, someone who maybe can be guided by God's Spirit to deliver what message he has for us tonight. I'm going to start by reading in Luke chapter 19, verse 20. And this is not what I'm looking for. Luke 22. Verse 19. Luke chapter 22. Verse 19. And Christ is teaching his disciples the sacrament. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Now I'd like to turn to 3rd Book of Nephi, chapter 8, beginning in verse 32, and our brother Jim read this morning. And this chapter has always been very important to me, where Christ taught his disciples on this land the sacrament. And these commandments he gave that I'm going to read about are the commandments basically to the body. Some are to the disciples that should serve the bread and the wine. But what I'd like to focus on here are these commandments to the body, those who are baptized, those who have repented and are baptized, and who remember Jesus Christ. 3rd Book of Nephi, chapter 8, beginning in verse 32. "And when the multitude had eaten and were filled, he saith unto the disciples, Behold, there shall one be ordained among you, and to him will I give power that he shall break bread and bless it, and give it unto the people of my church, unto all they which shall believe and be baptized in my name." There's two requirements there to receive that bread, that one you believe, and that the other, that you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And I just want to focus there on the believing. When we remember Jesus Christ, we believe in him. We believe that he has power, and he gives us power to perform whatever work he would have us do. Verse 33, "And this shall ye always observe to do, even as I have done, even as I have broken bread and blessed it and gave it unto you. And this shall ye do in remembrance of my body, which I have shown unto you. Christ sacrificed his body. He was smitten. He was beaten, bruised. He was murdered upon a cross. Gave himself willingly and offered his body up as a sacrifice for me, for you. And this shall ye do, the breaking of the bread and the blessing it, and the partaking of it. This shall ye do in remembrance of my body, which I have shewn unto you. And it shall be a testimony unto the Father that ye do always remember me. I remember earlier in my walk with Christ, I always thought of the sacrament service as a time of remembrance, or a service of remembrance of Christ. But really it is our witness that we do always remember him. It's an opportunity to witness that not only in this moment of reverence to God, but when we are in our weakness and when we have sinned, that we turn to him and repent. As our brother Alvin preached a week ago, that we take that opportunity, that invitation to repent. And we allow his strength to correct our weakness. We do always remember him. And if ye do always remember me, ye shall have my spirit to be with you. Verse 37, and it came to pass that when he had said these words, he commanded his disciples that they should take of the wine of the cup and drink of it, and that they should also give unto the multitude that they might drink of it. And it came to pass that they did so, and did drink of it, and were filled. And they gave unto the multitude, and they did drink, and they were filled. And when the disciples had done this, Jesus saith unto them, Blessed are ye for this thing which ye have done, for this is fulfilling my commandments. And this doth witness unto the Father that ye are willing to do that which I have commanded you. And this shall ye always do unto those who repent and are baptized in my name, and ye shall do it in remembrance of my blood that I have shed for you, that I have shed for you. I want us to take this personally. That ye may witness unto the Father that ye do always remember me. That ye do always remember me in the trials of the day, when we're faced with fears of the unknown, fears of what might happen at work, fears of what is going to happen in certain relationships, doubts, weaknesses, that we remember our strength, Jesus Christ, his word, his commandments, his sacrifice, his power, his strength, his love, his peace. Verse 41, And if ye do always remember me, ye shall have my spirit to be with you. That is a promise. If we retain him in our remembrance, if we have him for our guide, if we remember his words, his commandments, and we attend to them, we will always have his spirit to be with us. Jim said today, this is a different type of remembrance that we normally think of. It's not like, oh yeah, I remember that. I remember what he did. I looked it up in 1828 Webster Dictionary, and I really liked this one definition: to attend to. We attend to Jesus. If we attend to Jesus Christ, if we believe his word and we take it upon us, we feast upon it and we do it, we keep it, we will always have his spirit to be with us. This morning we sang hymn number 365, and I'd like to read the words. Gracious Spirit, dwell with me. I myself would gracious be, and with words that help and heal, would thy life in mine reveal. And with actions bold but meek, would for Christ my Savior speak. Truthful Spirit, dwell with me. I myself would truthful be. I love this hymn because as the author lists characteristics of the Spirit of God, gracious, truthful, tender, holy, I recognize these as my weaknesses and how much I need his Spirit to be gracious, to be truthful, to be tender, and to be holy. Truthful Spirit, dwell with me. I myself would truthful be, and with wisdom kind and clear, let thy life in mine appear. And with actions brotherly, speak my Lord's sincerity. Tender Spirit, dwell with me. I myself would tender be. Shut my heart up like a flower in temptation's darksome hour. Don't let those darts enter my heart, those darts the devil's sending at me. But shut my heart up, protect it from those things that will cause me to go away from you. Open it when shines the sun and his love by fragrance own. Holy Spirit, dwell with me. I myself would holy be. Separate from sin, I would choose and cherish all things good. Separate from sin, I would choose and cherish all things good. Separate me from sin. I want to be separate from sin. And I love that. I love that verse with the last verse, because we separate ourselves from sin when we don't even allow the temptation to enter our heart. That goes right along with 3rd book of Nephi chapter 5, when Christ is comparing his commandments with the Ten Commandments, he says, don't even allow those things to enter your heart. And this is what this hymn, this author is crying out to God for, that he protect his heart, that he keep him near the heart of God. And whatever I can be, give to him who gave me thee. He's asking for God's help to be whatever he can be for God. When we give our heart over to God like that, all things are possible. When we remember him like that, when we believe in him like that. Moroni chapter 4. In verse 4, the prayer over the bread. O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son. And witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son and always remember him. Take upon us the name of Jesus Christ, just as we did when we witnessed in the waters of baptism that we would follow him to the end of our life. We were willing to take upon us his name. That means that we're willing to keep his commandments. That we don't want to spot the name of Christ in any way. But we're willing to hold his name up as a standard. Just as we have a last name, and years before, you didn't want to do anything to hurt or to shame. Thank you. To bring shame upon your last name, shame upon your family. We've made that commitment when we took upon us the name of Christ. Nothing to bring shame upon his name. The world of Christianity is, or the name of a Christian is often maligned, I guess is the word that's coming to my mind, because many people see Christians as hypocrites, saying they believe something and do something else. We don't want to do that. We want to share his light and we want to remember him by living what we read, what we say we believe. And we can only do that with his Spirit, with the guidance of that gift of the Holy Ghost that we've been given. That they are willing to, this is the middle of four, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son and always remember him. And part of that remembering him is this next line, and keep his commandments, which he hath given them. We remember him by keeping his commandments. and that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen. And in chapter 5, it's similar. Beginning in verse 3, O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they do always remember him. Always. Always. When we're tempted, when we're doubting, when we're victorious, when we have done right, it's because of him. We remember him. That they do always remember him, that they may have his Spirit to be with them. Amen. We sang this morning hymn number 268. Take time to be holy. Speak oft of thy Lord. Always remember him. Abide in him always. Always remember him. And feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. I like that. Help those who are weak. Sometimes we have a tendency by our nature to look down on those who are weak. When people err, when people sin. But we're to help those who are weak. We're to speak the truth in love. Encourage a sister, a brother. I talked a little bit about that this morning in my testimony. I'm really amazed when I see a good football team that when somebody really messes up, rather than a teammate yelling at them or giving them a look like, what are you doing? Seeing an encouraging word, a pat on the back. That's us. That's our role. When we see someone in sin, to pick them back up. Verse 2, take time to be holy. The world rushes on. And that's where a lot of our temptation is trying to get the next thing done, the next thing done, next thing done, and not remembering Jesus Christ. And dwelling in him. Take time to be holy. Apart time, take time apart. To dwell in him, to read his word, to feast upon it, to kneel in prayer. And when I say that, please bless so-and-so and bless so-and-so and this. And yes, ask for those blessings, but with sincere heart. And commune with God. Stop and listen. As I'm saying this, I'm condemned, but this is for me. I need more time with God to dwell in his holiness so I can be holy. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus. Much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Looking to him as the example. Thy friends and thy conduct, his like. Thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. So if you take that time to be holy, your friends will see his likeness in you. Because your conduct will reflect him. Take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide, and run not before him, whatever betide. There's another one, another temptation we have. Knowing something needs to get done and running to get it done in our own strength, with our own response. And yet if we stop, the Word of God teaches us, consecrate all your performance unto God. Cry out to him. Anything you do, cry out to him that he'll guide you. Cry out to him at the beginning of the day. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord in both places, in joy or in sorrow. And looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Don't worry. Allow the peace of God to reign in your soul. He has it available to us. We don't have to be always worried. He has peace available to us. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Let him guide your motive. Don't have your own agenda, but let his agenda be yours. Thus led by his Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above. Mosiah chapter 2. This last hymn that we, you can be turning to Mosiah chapter 2, verse 13. That last hymn that we just read. Spend time with God. Spend time with him. Mosiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. Often quoted from Scripture, and there's a reason for it. This man, he was king, King Benjamin, and he was a humble follower of Jesus Christ. His example, I don't know of much better than him except for Jesus Christ himself. I can't imagine having, you know, I can just think that when I have just a little bit of power, a little bit of money, all the temptations that I have. This man had all kinds of power. Money available to him, he could have taxed the people, but he didn't. Because he was a servant of the Most High God. And this is what he taught his people. As in his last days, he wanted to make sure they understood before he left them. Believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. I'm emphasizing that because sometimes we just think we can't. We just think, sometimes we really get down on ourselves, and it's the tool of the devil. That we're just that way, and this is just the way it is. But God has all power, and he has all wisdom. And he has it available to us if we're willing to serve him and believe in him. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, that ye might, and we need to believe that because we can't comprehend all things that God comprehends because we have to just trust him in some things and do what he says. Because we already have tasted of his love. We know he's good. We know his word's true, and it's going to guide us into joy. So sometimes when we don't understand why, we just need to trust. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them. Turn from them. And turn to God. And humble yourselves before God. Allow yourself to be taught by God. Allow him to give you the understanding of the commandment that he's given, whatever commandment you're learning, in such a way let me read that again. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God. Allow yourself to be taught by him. And ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that ye do them. And again, I say unto you that as I have said before, that as ye have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if ye have known of his goodness, and have tasted of his love, and have received a remission of your sins, which causeth such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that ye should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness, and his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures. Oftentimes in the scriptures, people were humble before God throughout. We were just reading about, I've been reading a lot about the house of Israel. We were just reading in our Sunday school class how God took out five kings at once and gave them Jerusalem. And that land was promised to them as long as they kept his commandments, as long as they remembered him. And they followed those commandments, and then they'd fall, and then there would be a humble king, and they'd begin to follow again, and finally, there was total rebellion, and Jerusalem was destroyed. That same promise is on our nation. We were given this land, as Gentiles who were persecuted because of our forefathers' faith. They were persecuted. They cried out to God. They humbled themselves before him. They got on their knees and asked him to deliver unto them a government. And he did. He organized for them our governing documents. Not only did he do that, he gave us this Book of Mormon to us, our people, our forefathers, his word in plainness to complement the Bible, to give us his teachings, plain. And we have that same promise that if we are obedient to his commandments, that we'll be preserved upon this land. But the majority of our people have turned and have not remembered their God. And he sent us warnings. And for a short moment, people filled the churches. And then very quickly, forgot their God. And we see more and more change in our government, in our society, the acceptance of abominations, clear abominations before God, as honorable and acceptable. We praise people who disobey God. And our job, you and I must continue to remember him, to feast upon his word, to set his light as an example in our lives, to allow him to control our conduct, our motives, our heart, to protect and guide and obey. As I just got through reading verse 20, and he says, even so I would that you should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God. I do not praise my God enough. He is so great. He is so great. This life he's given us, this mercy he's given us, this opportunity that he's given us. Brother Dan, when he was praying at the beginning of the service, he said that I recognize my nothingness. Oh, I hope I recognize my nothingness. I hope I get me out of my actions. I hope I get my agenda, my desires, my nature out of my motive. I hope I make my God my guide. We're to remember his goodness and his long suffering towards us. I so often, at the slight bit of suffering, complain. And yet my God suffered. The Son of God suffered for me. Not only did Christ suffer in his life on this earth, he suffered because of disbelief. He suffered because of what he knew, the sacrifice he was going to have to make, that he'd have to leave his humble followers, his disciples, He suffered on the cross. He suffered as those he came to die for mocked him. But he also suffers every time I sin. Every time I do what I want to do rather than what he wants me to do. And his will suffers because I'm not doing it. Because I'm not being the example, the light that he's called me to be. But when we do, when we remember him, good things happen. We have joy. We have peace. We affect others for good. We're to remember his goodness and long-suffering towards us unworthy creatures. Verse 21, and humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come. Believe in that which is to come, in your salvation, in your fulfillment of God's plan in your life. Which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you, if ye do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins. And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. And ye will not have a mind to injure one another. And that's our nature, is to hurt one another by our anger, by our own fears. I talked about that a little bit this morning in my testimony as well. I often, when I see someone going astray that I love so much, especially someone in my family, I react in anger. What are you doing? Why? That's my nature. But it's our role to encourage. To lift up. To remind one another of the mark and the plan and the gift that God's given each of us. And you will not have a 24, and you will not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably and to render to every man according to that which is his due. And what is every man's due? That we love our neighbor as ourself. And Christ gave the example of the Samaritan, those who were looked down upon by the Jews. Can you imagine being looked down upon, and yet you choose to help a Jew who is has been robbed and beaten in your way? And the Good Samaritan came in. The priest didn't. The other didn't. Those that were of honor didn't. But the one who was looked down upon, he did. And he helped the man that needed help, the Jew. And he set that example. Christ gave that example of loving our neighbor as ourself. He was showing us that our neighbor can be our enemy. We're to love our enemies. We're to pray for them. So when somebody does something evil to you, pray for them. We sang this morning hymn number 242. Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee, and though it be a cross that raiseth me, still all my song shall be, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Though like a wanderer the sun gone down, darkness comes over me, my rest a stone. Yet in my dreams I'd be nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer to thee. There let my way appear onward to heaven. All that thou sendest me in mercy given. Angels to beckon me nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Then will my wakening thoughts bring with thy bright with thy praise. Start over. Then with my wakening thoughts bright with thy praise, out of my stony griefs, Bethel I'll raise. So by my woes to be nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Remember Jesus Christ. After I just got through reading in Mosiah chapter 2 what King Benjamin spoke to his people. In chapter 3, this is their response to King Benjamin, beginning in verse 1. And now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had thus spoken to his people, he sent among them desiring to know of his people if they believed the words which he had spoken unto them. He had a tower built so he could deliver the word of truth to his people. It still wasn't tall enough, so he sent that word out to those who couldn't hear. And it says, this was the response, and they all cried with one voice, saying, yea, we believe all the words which thou hast spoken unto us. And also we know of their surety and truth because of the Lord, because of the Spirit of the Lord omnipotent, which hath wrought a mighty change in us, in our hearts, that we have no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually. They believed him. They believed in God, so much so that they had no desire to do evil. And we ourselves also, through the infinite goodness of God and the manifestations of his Spirit, have great views of that which is to come. We believe what's to come. We believe that this Jesus Christ will come and will offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins. And were it expedient, we could prophesy of all things. They knew, they believed that God could do anything through them if it was expedient. They believed he had that power, and they were willing to submit to it. Verse 5. And it is the faith which we have had on the things which our King hath spoken unto us and hath brought us to this great knowledge, whereby we do rejoice with such exceeding great joy, and we are willing to enter into a covenant with our God to do his will and to be obedient to his commandments in all things that he shall command us all the remainder of our days, that we may not bring upon ourselves a never-ending torment, as has been spoken by the angel, that we may not drink out of the cup of the wrath of God. And now these are the words which King Benjamin desired of them. Therefore he said unto them, Ye have spoken the words that I desire, and the covenant which ye have made is a righteous covenant. And now, because of the covenant which ye have made, ye shall be called the children of Christ. They took upon him his name. It says, his sons and his daughters, for behold, this day he hath spiritually begotten you. For ye say that your hearts are changed through faith on his name, therefore ye are born of him and have become his sons and his daughters. And under this head ye are made free, and there is no other head whereby ye can be made free. There is no other name given whereby salvation cometh. Therefore I would that ye should take upon you the name of Christ, all you that have entered into a covenant with God, that ye should be obedient unto the end of your lives. And it shall come to pass that whosoever doeth this shall be found at the right hand of God, for he shall know the name by which he is called, for he shall be called by the name of Christ. And now it shall come to pass that whosoever shall not take upon them the name of Christ must be called by some other name. Therefore he findeth himself on the left hand of God. And I would that ye should remember also that this is the name I said I should give unto you, that never should be blotted out, except it be through transgression. The importance of remembering Jesus Christ, that his name not be blotted out. Therefore, take heed that ye do not transgress, that the name be not blotted out of your hearts. I say unto you, I would that ye should remember to retain the name written always in your hearts, that ye are not found on the left hand of God, but that ye hear and know the voice. And that part of knowing the voice is dwelling in him, remembering him, feasting upon his word, crying out to him all day long. Know the voice by which ye are called, and also the name by which he shall call you. For how knoweth a man the master which he hath not served? And which is a stranger unto him? In other words, how can we be his if we don't remember him, if we don't attend to him and his word, if we don't serve him? For how knoweth a man the master which he hath not served, and which is a stranger unto him, and as far from the thoughts and intents of his heart? And again, doth a man take an ass which belongeth to his neighbor and keep him? I say unto you, nay. He will not even suffer that he shall feed among his flock, but will drive him away and cast him out. I say unto you, that even so shall it be among you, if ye know not the name by which ye are called. Therefore I would that ye should be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in good works, that Christ the Lord God omnipotent may seal you his, that you may be brought to heaven, and that ye may have everlasting salvation and eternal life, through the wisdom and power and justice and mercy of him who created all things in heaven and in earth, and is God above all. Amen.